Have you ever seen a sloth? I mean, really seen one, not just in a nature documentary, but just right up close. Because I had the pleasure of meeting one several years ago in San Francisco. And those enormous eyes that blink at you in slow motion, the whole animal radiating this improbable calm, like it has achieved some level of peace that the rest of us are still striving for. There's just something about them that makes them irresistible. And they are wildly, absurdly popular. There are sloth stuffed animals. We have several. There are sloth mugs, sloth tote bags, entire Instagram accounts dedicated to sloths hanging from branches. People just lose their minds over sloths. So someone in Florida had an idea. Sloth World. A permanent public exhibit, a slothnarium, they called it, with rainforest-inspired habitat designed exclusively, their website promises, with sloth well-being in mind. A place where people could come. They could pay their admission and get close to the creatures that they adore. The dream was charming enough. But the reality was a catastrophe. In a BBC article from just yesterday, they reported that in December of last year, 21 sloths were shipped from Guyana to a warehouse in Florida. The building had no electricity, no running water. Space heaters were purchased to keep the animals warm. But the heaters tripped a fuse and shut down. For at least one night, those sloths, animals that are native to tropical rainforests, animals that need temperatures between 70 to 86 degrees to survive, sat in a cold, dark warehouse while the Florida temperatures outside dropped to the mid-40s. All 21 of them died. Then in February, 10 more sloths arrived from Peru. Two came off of the transport already dead. The remaining 8 appeared emaciated and later died as well. So 31 sloths, pulled from the rainforest canopy where they belonged, shipped across international borders, and dead before the attraction ever opened. Now, the vice president of Sloth World told investigators the warehouse wasn't properly set up to receive the animals. He acknowledged that, but he said it was also too late to cancel the shipment. Too late to cancel the shipment. How messed up is that? These are animals, not our packages being delivered from Amazon. Today's psalm is one of the most recognizable in the English-speaking world, particularly the infamous King James Version. Our society, our world is saturated with some of its beautiful phrases. The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The author Kurt Vonnegut called it the most perfect poem ever written. It's been recited in hospital rooms, at gravesides, in the middle of the night when just no other prayers would come. And these images, they're profoundly appealing. Green pastures, still water, and a shepherd close enough to protect us. A feast laid out in front of us. We read it, and we place ourselves in the role of the sheep, quite naturally. The shepherd cares for us. We are safe. Right? But we would do well to sit with the shepherd's tools for just one moment. The rod and the staff, what one translation calls a crooked stick and a cane, these are not just decorative. The shepherd's crook was used to loop around a sheep's neck to redirect it, to pull it back when it had gotten too far ahead, too far astray. And that staff was used for prodding them along, or a firm whack that said, not that way, this way. Not a punishment, just correction. The tools of a shepherd who takes seriously where their flock is headed. Now, there were warnings about Sloth World. The Sloth Conservation Foundation raised concerns before it ever even opened. The Sloth Institute warned explicitly that sloths removed from the forest canopy and shipped internationally often suffer from serious health issues, and that for many of them, this leads to death. State wildlife regulators had already found on two separate occasions that the animals in their care were being kept in cages that didn't meet minimum captive wildlife requirements. The warnings were there. They were documented. They were ignored or explained away or treated as obstacles to be managed rather than wisdom to be heeded. And it was apparently too late to cancel the shipment. There is a version of love, a very, very human version that is really just kind of all about us. It says, I find you wonderful, therefore I must have you near me. I adore you, therefore I will acquire you. It feels like love. It presents itself as love. But it doesn't ask what the beloved actually needs. It doesn't pause to consider whether closeness serves the other or just ourselves. And this is not a problem that is unique to wildlife attractions. We do this with people. We do this with communities. We do this in our politics and in our personal lives. We wrap possessions in the language of affection, and we call it care. But the shepherd doesn't love the sheep that way. The shepherd's love is oriented toward the sheep's flourishing, not the shepherd's satisfaction. That's why the rod and the staff are part of this picture. And that's why redirection is an act of love and not a contradiction to it. Now, we tend to resist this. We want the green pastures with out having to go through the correction. We want the assurance that goodness and mercy are following us without being willing to slow down and hear where they're actually trying to lead us. Here's what's interesting about the final line of the psalm. In English, it usually lands softly. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Follow. It's pleasant. Like, God's goodness and mercy are like a well-behaved puppy, just trotting along behind us. But the Hebrew word carries far more force than that. It means to pursue, to hunt, to chase down, to overtake. God's goodness and mercy are not gently trailing you. They are in hot pursuit. You cannot exhaust them. You cannot outrun them. They will catch you in the end. And I find that far more comforting than the tidy version. Not because God is some threat, but because it means that no matter how far we drift, no matter how many warnings we've explained away or shipments we couldn't bring ourselves to cancel, love has not given up the chase. But that love is pursuing us toward something, toward justice, toward genuine care for the vulnerable, towards a way of life where we ask not just what we want, but what the world around us actually needs. So, if you don't want for anything, remember that many people do. If your life is safe, remember that so many are not. If justice has served you, remember all of the communities that it has forgotten. If you don't fear the darkest valley, remember that there are people that live there. And if there is a feast that is laid out before you, notice who isn't at that table. 31 sloths died because the systems around them prioritized a transaction over a living being. Because the warnings were inconvenient. Because canceling the shipment would have cost something. And we live inside systems like that every day. Systems that treat people as commodities. That move human beings across borders like cargo. That find it too late to cancel the shipment when it comes to the poor or the sick or the marginalized or those who are just simply inconvenient. Goodness and mercy are hunting us down, and they are calling us to something different. For the good of everyone, please, please listen to the shepherd.